This shiur has a dual dedication to Imi Mairasi Bela Dereja Bas Baruch Halevi, who was Niftara on the 5th of Shvat, 5758, and also as a Rufua Shlema for her great-granddaughter, a lovely two-year-old, Miriam Edel Bas Saramalka. Miriam has been diagnosed with a very poor prognosis, acute leukemia. She is currently in remission, but she needs to hold on to that remission for at least the next several years, to be confident that she is indeed cured. And we hope, of course, Ad Me'ev Esrim Shana. My mother, Aleha HaShalom, was a very smart woman and generally made good choices. She also was someone who was full of love. Boy, was Mom full of love. May her great-granddaughter follow suit. Good day, Rabbi Isai. My name is Barry Yaffe, and I am excited to be with you today. I hope we're going to have fun. What I'd like to do today is to present to you a novel understanding of the flow of the Birchas Kriya Shema of Shacharis from Baruch Hu through the beginning of Kriya Shema. And in particular, what I'd like to do is to show you that embedded within the flow of that davening are the messages that we concluded from a previous shiur posted on outorah.org, somewhat audaciously entitled, The Answer to Life, the Universe, and Everything, and It's Not 42. That's part one of this series, and its URL is on the text document, which should also have a link on this page as well. In that year, we came to the conclusion that this world was created solely to allow man to use his Bechira, and through the exercise of that Bechira, to come to love God. In part one of this year, we made extensive comparisons between Adam in Olam Hazeh and the Malachim up in Shamayim, and concluded that the important difference between us and them is that Malachim are ruled by Midas HaDin, whereas Adam is ruled by Midas HaRachamim. That has tremendous implications for guiding the behavior of both populations. Because the Malachim are ruled by Midas HaDin, which demands immediate onesh for any infraction to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the sentient Malachim, who might choose to do otherwise, understand that if they so choose, they will immediately cease to exist. So if they wish to survive, they will do exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says all the time. Crime never pays in Shamayim because the consequences of crime are immediate annihilation. On the contrary, in Olam Hazeh, we are ruled by Midas HaRachamim. Midas HaRachamim posits that we get second chances. We can counter the Ratzon of Rabbeinu Shleilam and still survive, so that down here, crime pays. And therefore, we do have the ability to choose. Man has Bechira, and he can exercise it, whereas the Malachim may or may not have Bechira, but even if they do, they can't reasonably exercise it. There are a number of implications of that as well. Because man has Bechira and can choose, that enables true relationship. Man can love in a way that the Malachim cannot. To have a meaningful relationship of love means that we must have an equal option to reject. Otherwise, that love is meaningless. It's forced. So the concept that we are ruled by Midas HaRachamim enables man to exercise his Bechira, and it also enables man to have the capacity of true love. Love is a choice, and it's one that the Malachim don't really have. To concisely summarize, Midas HaDin interdicts Bechira up in Shamayim, and Midas HaRachamim enables and gives purpose to this world by enabling Bechira and true relationship, including love. With that preamble, now let me demonstrate to you how deeply embedded the concepts of Midas HaRachamim, Bechira, or lack thereof, and Ahava are embedded in the beginning of the davening from Baruch Hu. Okay, so here's where we get into today's shiur. I'm going to be going through this part of the davening in a fairly detailed manner, so I think that unlike most of my shiurim, this is one where you would really benefit from having a sitter, or at least the text of the davening, in front of your eyes so that you can follow along with me. I've taken the liberty of putting an excerpt of this part of the davening in the text document that should be on this webpage, and if you click on it, you'll be able to follow with me. I've also removed all of the intact Shamos from this document, so it does not need to be disposed of in Shamos, but it should be disposed of respectfully, of course. Within this text, I have highlighted in various ways the words that reflect the concepts that we are focused on. Just a couple of words of introduction to state what I would think is obvious. The focus of this whole section of the davening appears to be recognizing Hashem's kingship, Hashem's malchus. So in essence, what we do every single day in this section of the davening is what our avoda is specifically on Rosh Hashanah, to be mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech. The Mishnah on page 13a of the Gemara Brachos brings Rav Yeshua ben Karcha that makes it clear that the statement of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad V'yohavto es Hashem Elokecha is actually an expression of Kabbalas Oel Malchus Shamayim, of accepting the yoke of the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those words are crowning HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our king. And then Yeshua ben Karcha goes on to say that V'hoyoim Shamoa is Kabbalas Oel Mitzvos, that we are accepting the yoke of the commandments that come from that king as actions that we can do to show that we respect his kingship. So that is actually the focus of this whole section of the davening. Additionally, the davening has a great deal to do with light and dark and the sun, for obvious reasons. We are davening Shacharis because now that the sky has become light and the sun is rising, the Zman has changed, and males, at least, are obligated to daven to Hashem daily, according to the Rambam. And so it is the change in the sun's behavior, that it has now risen into the sky, that generates that chiyuv. So the dialogue is all about light and dark and the sun. But in a more fundamental fashion, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who dominates the sun, gives the sun its orders to rise and shine, and therefore the concept that the sun is performing its duty exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it shows that it too recognizes Hashem's kingship. Hashem, as the creator, the Bore of Shamayim Va'aretz, exerts his dominion over everything. And that's at least one of the basic messages here. Now, when the sun does this, it is, of course, functioning as Hashem's agent. It is a malach. The sun is an inanimate malach. It presumably doesn't have feelings or sentience. It was just created to do its job, but it does it flawlessly and faithfully, and it rises, gives light and heat, day after day after day, at the direction of its creator. We'll have more to say about this in the sister piece, which draws parallels from HaShamayim Misaprim Kvod Kel. But for the purposes of this talk, understand that the sun is a malach, and therefore it is, in essence, quite closely related to the sentient malachim, the malachei hashores, which are malachim that have a quasi-human form, and we know that some of them at least are capable of independent thought and independent action in the performance of the tasks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu assigns them. So Hashem gives them general orders, and they decide for themselves how to execute those general orders. At least that's the way that I understand it and the premise that we're going to be functioning under in this talk. When we get to the paragraph of Lekel Baruch Ne'imos Yitenu that ends in Baruch Ato Hashem Yotzer HaMa'aros, it will become very clear why I make that statement with relative certainty. Now let's look at the words of the davening specifically. There are two brachos that precede Kriyat Shema in Shacharis, also in Arvis. The first one starts with Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech Oseh Shalom Uvarei Es HaKoel, and ends with Baruch Ata Hashem Yotzer HaMa'oros. It's a Baruch Arucha with Baruch at the beginning and the end. The second Baruch is also a Baruch Arucha, but there's only a final Baruch Ata Hashem. It starts with Ahava Rabbah, and it ends with HaBocher Bama Yisrael BiAhava. Okay, so starting with the first Baruch. Yotzer or uvarei choshech oseh shalom uvarei es hakoel. This again establishes that we are davening because there is a change in the Zman. We have gone from choshech to or with the advent of the new day. As an incidental comment, this is actually a paraphrase of a pasuk in Yeshayahu 45:7. Yeshaya has a different thrust, and the actual pasuk is Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech Oseh Shalom Uvarei Ra, evil. Ani Hashem Oseh Kol Eileh. Yeshaya's thrust is to demonstrate that whether something appears to be good or something appears to be bad, it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there is no other power beside him. And if he is only associated with good, then who's in charge of bad? Chazal, actually, this was put into place by Ezra HaSofer, this part of the davening. So Ezra's focus is a little bit different. It's to establish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of all and the master of all, not specifically of bad, of evil. And at the same time, even though Choshech and Or are antithetical, he is Oseh Shalom between them. He makes peace. As another aside, it's very interesting to note Yeshaya's use of words here. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yotzer Or. The process of Yetzira implies the forming of something from some pre-existing raw material. It means shaping or fashioning. Whereas for the Choshech, he says Borei Choshech. Hashem creates darkness. That's interesting, because when you look at the psukim at the beginning of Bereishis, it does not state that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the darkness. The darkness just appears, if you'll pardon the pun, out of no place. And it is easy to presuppose that the darkness always existed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu came onto the scene. Yeshayahu is telling you, don't be fooled. Hashem created Choshech, even though it doesn't say so in the Chumash, and then made peace between the Or and the Choshech. I've looked at those sort of at the beginning of Bereishis, and there's an awful lot missing. It's not really an instruction booklet, as Rashi informs us. I still can't figure out how to make a universe, even after reading that a number of times. Probably a good thing. Anyway, the next paragraph in the daily davening is Hamer L'Oretz V'Lador Moleha, and the next word introduces us to what I think is an important subtext in this whole section, Berachamim. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he sheds light on Oretz, on this world, Olam Hazeh, the world of man, with Rachamim. So here it is, right at the beginning of davening, Rachamim, fifth word in. It ain't subtle and it ain't hard to find. So I think it's an important introduction to the idea that this world runs on Midas HaRachamim, as opposed to Shamayim, which runs on Midas HaDin, and that changes everything. We'll see how this segues later into Bechira and Ahava. The paragraph continues with the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews every single day, every single second, the work of creation, the Ma'aseh Bereishis. So this introduces the concept that the universe exists only because of the continued Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and without that everything would fall apart immediately. The next part of the paragraph discusses the multiplicity of Hashem's creations in this vast and wonderful universe, and the idea that even from ancient times, from the time of creation, Hashem was always Melech, and that is the thrust of this whole section of the davening, to establish that Hashem is Melech. The next line, Elokei Olam Berachamecho HaRabim Rachem Olenu. Again, we are the recipients of Rachamim, and that's, I think we'll see later on, that's why we're here. And then we run into the very brief statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the sun and the moon with great strength. That is the Abecedarian phrase, which is present as a one-liner in the daily davening, but which is expanded into a whole alphabetic song on Shabbos. And I've also included the Shabbos song in the text document, because what it shows that the one-liner in the daily davening does not quite reveal is that the sun and the moon are agents of God and are on par with the other malachim that we understand are human-like and sentient. And, of course, we're going to be detailing how they sing Kedusha, sing praise to their creator. Well, the sun does exactly the same thing by doing its job flawlessly. Every day it shines, and as it shines, it is singing a wordless song of praise to its creator. That actually is taken directly from the text of Kapitel 19, and again, we'll address that more in the sister shiur. Okay, so looking at the alphabetic song on Shabbos, Kel Adon Al Kol Hamasim, just to start with a brief overview, it sort of splits into three segments. The first segment is praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the creator of everything. The middle section has to do with the sun and the moon that he created. Again, it's a brand new day, and that's why we're davening. And the end section sort of joins the first two sections together. It reflects, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness and supremacy, but specifically with how he manipulates the sun and the moon. And the very last line has all of the host of the heavens joining together to praise God, the creator and absolute master. There are a few specific things I want to focus on in this song. We don't need to go through the whole thing, but let's drop down to the hay stitch. Hamisgoe al chayos hakodesh. He exalts himself over and above the holy chayos. A chaya is a kind of winged angel in the Maase Merkava, the vision of Yeshaya and Yechezkel that we're going to be talking about soon. The point I want to make is that here we're talking about the Chayos. Chaya is one of the more human-like angels, and the song introduces those even before it starts talking about the sun. So we see the sun joined together with the Chayos. The point is they're all one group. They're all Malachim. The next phrase is V'nedor b'chavad al ha-merkava, and Hashem is beautified in glory or honor upon the Merkava, the divine chariot. Again, this is a reference to the vision of the Maase Merkava. Next line is Zuchus u'mishar lifnei chiso, merit and mishar. Mishar is from the word yashar, meaning straight. In my Siddur, it's translated as fairness. Lifnei chiso are before his throne. Chesed v'rachamim lifnei chvodo. Chesed, and then my index word rachamim, which is why I'm focusing on this, are before his kavod, his glory. I'm focusing on this because this could be seen as a contradiction to the thesis that I'm trying to propose, which is that Rachamim belongs strictly in Olam Hazeh and not up in Shamayim. Well, here it's describing Hashem's midos amongst his heavenly retinue of Malachim, so it seems like Rachamim may be extended to them. I'm going to split hairs. It seems to me that Zuchus and Mishar are, in a sense, synonyms for Midas Hadin. Okay, Zuchus is strict merit, and Mishar, straightness, is not fairness, it's straightness, it is din. You have to be straight and narrow under the tenets of Midas HaDin. So that is Lifnei Kiso, that is before his heavenly throne. Chesed v'rachamim, however, are Lifnei Chavodo. Well, where is Chavodo? To jump ahead to the Kedusha that is overheard during the Maase Merkava, Yeshaya hears the Malachim singing Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos, Melo Chol Ha'aretz Kvodo. So Hashem's glory fills, not Shemayim here, but Aretz. And what fills his glory, his Kavod, is Chesed and Rachamim. So I think you can understand this phrase as saying that Midas HaDin is what rules up in Shemayim, and Chesed and Rachamim are down here. We are the recipients of those Midos. Not so clear, but I'm going to go with it. The next line finally gets to the sun and the moon. Tovim ora shebora elokeinu. Good are the great light givers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Yitzoram bedaas bevino v'haskel. He fashioned them with knowledge, with understanding, and with discernment, it says in my Siddur. Ko'achu gvura nosan bohem, he imbues them with strength and power, might. L'hios moshalim b'kirev tevel, to be rulers in the midst of the inhabited world. You know, the next line again describes these heavenly bodies. Meleim ziv u'mefikim noga, they radiate light. No'ezivam b'chol ha'olam, pleasant is their radiation in the entire world. Smechem b'tseisam b'sasim b'voam, they are happy, they rejoice, b'tseisom, when they go out from the eastern horizon, when they rise, v'sasim b'voam, and they are happy when they come down to the western horizon, when they set. They're just happy all the time, doing the will of God. However, osim be'ema ritzon konam, be'ema. they're happy, but how do they perform their task? Be'ema, with fear, they do the will of the one who created them. Pe'er v'chava nosem lishmo, they give majesty and glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Tzahalav arina l'zecher malchuso, joy and song to the memory of his kingship. Again, this is all about making Hashem melech. Korel Hashemesh v'yizrach oro v'hiskin tzuris halavana. He called to the sun, and then it shined. Apparently it did not shine until HaKadosh Baruch Hu invited it to do so. And he diminished the greatness of the moon. Shevach nosem l'kol tzva marom. All of the host on high give praise to God. Tiferes u'gedula, splendor and greatness. Esrafim v'ofanim v'chayas HaKodesh. Three of the categories of human-like malachim, of sentient malachim. So again, the point of this whole exposition is that within the song we see that the sun and the moon are malachim, as are the serafim, ofanim, and chayos hakodesh. And I hope I convinced you that rachamim is, again, a mita that is operant on this world, which is filled with Hashem's kavod. And if I haven't convinced you, there's more to come. Now let's cut back to the daily davening. Where we left off was that the heavenly bodies, by performing their tasks, tell the tale of Hashem's glory and holiness. He goes on to say that Hashem should bless himself on the praise of the work of his hands, specifically on the light givers that he made. The next two paragraphs introduce the malachim who are going to be the players in the Ma'aseh Merkava. They also establish the malachim's credentials, so to speak. These are extremely imposing entities that are beloved, although it does not say by whom they are beloved, that are flawless, mighty. They perform the will of their maker with ema and yira, with dread and fear. They all open their mouths in holiness, and they praise in multiple different ways the name of Hashem, the Melech. And they too, just like we are going to be doing in Kriyat Shema, they too accept upon themselves the oil Malchus Shamayim. And they utter praise of God with fear. The dominant adjective which is used to describe their attitude is yira. Yira is the kind of emotion that surfaces when you are being judged, when you are being subject to midas hadin. Even though midas hadin is not mentioned here, it seems pretty clear that the malachim are ever cognizant that that is the yardstick by which they are measured. At the risk of insulting your intelligence, I feel I have to give a little bit of a background for the Ma'aseh Merkava. These two phrases that clearly form the pinnacle of all of the tefillos, the two phrases that compose Kedusha, are expressions of praise from the angels that surround what is called his Merkava, his heavenly chariot. In a sense, these are the malachim that actually carry him when he appears to the Nevi'im, specifically to Yeshaya and to Yechezkel. Yeshaya hears the first part of this angelic praise, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Melech Al Haaretz Kvodo. And about 130 years later, Yechezkel hears the second part, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimakomo. And together they make up what we borrow in our davening, because we understand that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands his malachim to praise him this way, that this is the highest praise that we humans can offer him as well. I'm not going to translate these praises or tell you what I think it means, but I will refer you to the prayer of Uva Letzion Goel near the end of the daily Shacharis davening, where Targum Yonason gives you his translations and breaks down the three different kadoshes into three different realms of Kedusha. It's not directly relevant to what my focus is in this talk, but I feel I can't leave this subject without a little bit of context that I think many people may not be aware of. We actually borrow these phrases of high praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and incorporate them into the holiest parts of our davening. It's important to understand that these praises were overheard as HaKadosh Baruch Hu was approaching these two Nevi'im, Yeshaya and then, a couple of generations later, Yechezkel. Yechezkel, in particular, was especially astonished by this approaching sight, which was so bizarre and divorced from any other experience he had ever had. So he describes the prelude to the prophecy that he is about to receive in extreme painstaking detail. So one imagines that as he was viewing this astonishing sight approaching, that when he overheard these words, they were seared into his brain and took on extreme significance. However, it's important to keep in mind that this praise is not the main event. This praise is merely the preamble. But the real truth is, that's not the main event. The main event is the nevuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to deliver to each one of these Nevi'im. And Rabbi Isai, it is in both cases a nevuah of dire warning and impending disaster. In both cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fed up with the behavior of his chosen nation. In Yeshaya's time, the prophecy is that the 10 tribes will be exiled, the northern kingdom, and indeed that came to pass in Yeshaya's life. Two generations later, in Yechezkel's time, the prophecy is that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, and there will be death and destruction all around, and Yehuda, the remaining remnant of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, will go into Gullus. And that's the worst thing. The worst thing is distance from the Shekhinah itself. And that's what both of these nevuahs are all about. If you don't believe me, pick up a Nach and read it for yourself. It's the end of the sixth parak in Yeshaya, and it's the second through about the seventh parak in Yechezkel. Rabbi say, I don't really know what to make of it. On Shabbos, we always sing Kedusha with soulful and moving, spiritual nigunim. And I look around me and I see other people with great kavana, being mekabel ol malchus shamayim, as if they themselves are malachim, and standing up on their toes as they say, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Look at me, I'm a malach. With great kavana. And I'm thinking to myself, excuse me, buddy, you ain't no malach, you're a human being. You're a member of Klal Yisrael. And when these words were first heard by man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kafi yochel, disgusted with the behavior of the people of his nation. And he was ready to distance himself. And Rabbi Isai, lest you think that this is my own negative / pessimistic view of affairs, please see the Medrash Tanhuma in the text document from Parshas Emor. While he does not spell this out in so many words, the implications of what he does say are quite consonant with it. It seems to me, again, I don't know what to do with this. It seems to me that the perhaps a more appropriate attitude is what's reflected by the words of what we say in the Shabbos Kedusha of Mimkomecha Malkeinu Sophia. That expresses a sense of wistfulness, of sadness. What does the paragraph say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're our king, but you're not behaving like a king. You're hiding. Where are you? We want you back. When are you coming back? And it seems to me that the right kavana is, what will it take to bring him back? Because we're still in Gullus. Whatever was wrong then is still wrong now. Rabbi say, I don't know. I don't know what the right attitude is. But it's food for thought. I apologize for this digression, but I think it's important to hear, and I haven't heard it from anybody else. Maybe you have, but I haven't. If you know how to behave, please email me, because I don't. One thing I'm pretty sure about is that the Malachim were not clueless. They understood very well that the boss was not happy, and yet they are still singing to him praise of Kadosh, 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 and the Siddur tells us that they were being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim at the time. So if that's the case, I have to assume that they were praising Hashem for being a melech, and it is a melech's prerogative to decide when to exile his own people and to distance them from his presence. That is a form of malchus. It is tough love. I've often wondered what the song of Kedusha of the Malachim would be when the third base of Migdish will be built. I have to assume that the words won't change. They reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's various spheres of Kedusha, and that is timeless. But I bet the niggun's going to be a lot different. A lot different. Anyway, it's time to return to the task at hand. We are contrasting the role of the Malachim with the role of Adam. And for this task, the next paragraph in the daily davening is key. That is the paragraph of Lekel Baruch Ne'imo Shiteinu. Rabbi say, for many years I didn't know what to do with this paragraph. I had no insight at all into what I was saying. The outline of the paragraph is that the Malachim are saying pleasant things, they're singing pleasant things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who alone performs 8 acts, which are listed in the paragraph, and then it again returns to the concept that we started with, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews every single day the work of creation, and that ends the first bracha of the Birchas Kriyat Shema, Baruch Ato Hashem Yotzer HaMa'oros. We come back to the heavenly light givers, especially the sun, which is where we started this whole section of the davening. I had no idea what to do with this paragraph because I did not understand what these 8 things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge of were. They sounded very highfalutin, grandiose, majestic, the sort of things that a god would do, but I didn't know what they represented. What is Po'el Givuros? He performs acts of great strength. Oseh Hadashos, he makes new things. What new things? Baal Milchamos. Okay, I understand that. Zoriat Tzedakos, he scatters righteousnesses. What is that? What are righteousnesses that he scatters? Matzmiach Yeshuos, he causes salvations to sprout. And so on. And then one morning, while I was davening, I had a sudden epiphany. The epiphany got better after I took some Tums. But it was a revelation that opened my eyes. Well, the epiphany happened when I got to the 6th item on the list, Bore Refuos. And I thought to myself, well, gee, that's something I know a lot about because I'm a doctor. And that's my specialty, is Refuos. And I started thinking, you know, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is Bore Refuos? I understood that I had a celestial partner in crime. His name is Raphael. And isn't he in charge of Refuos? And I thought to myself, after looking at it a second time, no, wait, he's not in charge of Refuos. He's not the one who heals people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only healer. And Raphael is nothing but a gopher. He's a shaliach. Just like I'm nothing but a shaliach. I don't heal anybody. I just hopefully know the right things to do so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can heal my patients. So no, Raphael is not Bore Refuos. He executes Refuos. But only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bore Refuos. He is the one who decides whether a given individual should be healed or not be healed. That makes him the Bore Refuos. He gives the order, and Raphael says, yes, sir, I'm on it. So that started me thinking about part one of this talk, and the idea that the only two entities in creation that have bechira, choice, are HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Adam. And from part one, I understood that what makes Adam a Tzelem Elokim is that only God and man have the power of Bechira. In that one sense, we are closer to the image of God than are the Malachim themselves. The Malachim cannot exercise their Bechira. They do not have choice. They just follow orders. And then I looked at the earlier part of the paragraph, and I realized the most important part of the paragraph are the words ki hu levado, because Hashem alone performs, is in charge of Refuos. And that is a true statement. And then it occurred to me that perhaps every other item on that list of 8 things was actually executed by an individual malach, just like Bore Refuos is executed by Raphael. Well, let's see. Poel Givuros? Very obviously, that's Gavriel. Gavriel is the Malach who executes Givuros. Oseh Chadoshos? Not so clear who that might be, but it could be Mikhail. Baal Milchamos? Could be the Satan? Samuel? Could be Matat? Okay. I don't have a definite Malach that I can link up with each one of these items on the list, but suppose that's what this paragraph is telling me, that there is an individual malach that executes each one of these actions, but the decision to perform the action, that is ki hu levado, that resides only with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he is the only entity in Shemayim who has Bechira, and he rules those malachim with miras adin, so they don't. Well, that fits, because the paragraph ends by coming back to the sun. The sun has no Bechira. Hashem renews it today, just like he renewed it yesterday, and its job is to perform its task of rising and setting, lighting up the world, and warming up the world and functioning as timekeeper. And it does that every day, faithful Malach that it is. And that brings us to the end of the first bracha of Kriyat Shema that ends with Yotzer HaMe'oros. Up till now, the Shacharis davening has been all about the sun, and in a more general fashion, the sun as a malach, and therefore it segues to other malachim as well, even the sentient ones. As I'll discuss in more depth in the sister shiur to this, this first bracha of Kriyat Shema is parallel to the first half of Kapitel 19, HaShemayim Misaprim Kvod Keil, which is all about how the sun performs its praise of God simply by doing its job day after day after day. Now we're done with that, and now we're ready to start the second bracha of Kriyat Shema. Well, this bracha is parallel to the second half of Kapitel 19, and it's all about the Torah and the mitzvos. And if this analysis has merit, it is to contrast with the previous bracha. In the previous bracha, the stars of the show are the malachim, and specifically, the star is the sun, no pun intended, who ushers in the new day. But those malachim have no bechira. As we'll see in this paragraph of Ahava Rabbah, it's all about midas harachamim, and it's all about bechira. And it's all about love. There's very little about love in the discussion of the malachim. And the references to rachamim in those paragraphs related to the malachim are notably absent. Now contrast that with what's going to happen in Ahava Rabbah. What's different about Ahava Rabbah? What's different is that we are no longer discussing the role of the malachim. We are now going to be discussing the role of man, and specifically vis-a-vis his relationship with Hashem. From a housekeeping standpoint, let me note that Nusach Svard has a significantly different paragraph here, Ahavas Olam. But in terms of the index words that I focus on, there is no significant difference. Well, it starts off with a bang. First word of this paragraph is Ahava, isn't it? Great love. Hashem, our Lord, has loved us. Ahavtanu. Right away, we see the emphasis on love and the idea that we are no longer talking about the malachim. Now the focus is man, us. Next phrase. Chemla gedela v'yisera chamalta aleinu. I'm a little confused about what to do with this phrase. Chemla means pity. It means having empathy for someone who is in distress, in a tight spot. And I wonder why HaKadosh Baruch Hu pities us. Rabbi Alon Feldman has suggested that since the rest of this paragraph is about receiving the Torah and performing the mitzvos, that until HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually gave us the Torah, that we were indeed objects of pity. That makes sense. The paragraph goes on to say that our forefathers trusted in God, and Hashem taught them, and so he should teach us. The next sentence is Avinu ha'av ha'rachaman hamrachem rachem olenu. Our father, the father who is merciful, he shows rachamim. The one who is merciful, he should take mercy on us. Ha'rachaman hamrachem rachem. Okay, rachamim is written all over this line and expresses the plea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the wherewithal to perform 8 sequential acts or relationships vis-a-vis the Torah. And it's a sequence. The first one is lahavin, to understand, lahaskil, to draw inferences from the understanding that we have, lishmoa, to listen, to obey, lilmod, to learn for ourselves, ulilamed, and to teach to others. With the next word, lishmar, we have moved from the realm of study to the realm of action. Lishmar means to guard against, in other words, to obey losases. Philosos, to obey mitzvahs ases. Ulkayem, and to endure, to make it permanent. So with this progression of 8 things, we are now expressing the wish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow us to integrate the Torah into our lives and make it an ongoing and permanent part of our lives. Further, how are we to integrate all of these words of Talmud Torah into our lives? Biahava, with love. The next line, V'hoyereinu b'sar v'secha. Enlighten our eyes with your Torah. V'dabek libenu b'mitzvaisecha. Attach our hearts to your mitzvos. V'yached levavenu liyahava uliyira eshemecha. And make our hearts one. Again, liyahava, to love, uliyira, and to fear your name. Next line, let us not be embarrassed or humiliated, because we're trusting in your name and we're rejoicing in your salvation. And we hope that you will bring us from Golus, from the four corners of the earth, into our land, upright, without any humiliation. Because you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the Kael, Poel Yeshuos, who makes salvations. Sort of harkens back to the previous paragraph, doesn't it? In the previous paragraph, he is Poel Givuros and Matzmiach Yeshuos, but this sort of combines the two things, doesn't it? You are Hashem who is Poel Yeshuos, Uvanu Vacharta Mikol Avalashen. And again, the emphasis is on you are making a choice. You have chosen us. You have exercised your Bechira in picking us as your Am Segula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please bring us near to your great name, Be'emes, in truth, Lahodos L'chol Yachedcha B'Yahava, and to make your existence, to proclaim your existence as one, B'Yahava, with love. And finally we get to the punchline, Baruch Ato Hashem, HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael, B'Yahava. You choose us, and you choose us with an emotion that is love. You shower us with love in your choice of us. And what's our job? Our job is to do the next thing in the davening. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. To be mekabel ol malchus shamayim and declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu's absolute unity. And then he loves us. So what's your job? Your job is to love him back. V'yohavto es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'otecha. So, in summary, the previous paragraph is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to us as man, and in that relationship is totally embedded the concepts of Midas HaRachamim, choice, Bechira, and love, a specific Kabbalah from Bechira. And in this paragraph, we are also expressing the desire that we should be active participants in receiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love. And that brings us to Shema. What is our reply? What's our response? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to love you back. We do love you back. Integrating this understanding of the flow of the davening from Baruch Hu through Kriya Shema with part one of this talk, we come away with the idea that what this universe is all about, given that it was created with Midas HaRachamim and not Midas HaDin, is that it's a love story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses us, Klal Yisrael, and you and I, we choose him back in love. In love. Much of the specific focus of this part of the shiur was designed to show how different man is from the malachim who are dealt with earlier in this section. The sister shiur is designed to show exactly the opposite, what we share in common with the malachim, such as the sun, which is dealt with in Kapitel 19, Hashemayim Misaprim Kvod Kael. I hope to meet you again there. In part 2 of Tehillim 19, in the essence of Simchas Torah, defining the format of Birchos Kriya Shema. Until then, Rabbi Sai, have a wonderful morning. Feel the love.